The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
We have your Bibles. Would you open them up, please, to one of your most famous books, one you probably do a lot of reading in. How about Leviticus? Everybody's favorite. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 6. In this sixth chapter of Leviticus, God is speaking to Moses about how to administer the various types of offerings that they were to be doing. When we went through our study in Exodus and we saw the tabernacle being built, the instruction that was given for that, and then all of the various things that would be used in the tabernacle with regards to worship, part of that would be involving offerings to the Lord, such as what was known as the guilt offering. There was the grain offering. There was also one called the sin offering. And then I want you to listen to what he said to Moses with regards to the burnt offering, okay? Starting at verse 12, just reading two verses, 12 and 13. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire, once again, he repeats himself here, just obviously giving us emphasis on the fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. When I read these verses earlier this week, I began thinking about how important it is for all of us to keep the spiritual fire stoked in our hearts and in our lives. As we, again, as I refer back to our time when we went through the book of Exodus, we saw that there was so much there that symbolized our walk with God today. There was everything about it pointing to Jesus, everything about it speaking to us with regards to our relationship with him. And we see the same thing taking place here with regards to the offerings, and specifically for us today, the burnt offering. A tragedy that I see in Christianity through the years has been observing people who perhaps years ago were fueled by the fire of the Holy Spirit, fueled by the fire of love and compassion for the lost, fueled by the fire of vision, and fueled by the fire of purpose. And then when I see them today, it seems that there's no fire at all, at least spiritually. Their lives have become comfortable, and I do not mean that in a good sense. Their lives have become mundane. Their lives are without a sense of purpose and mission, just merely existing. Imagine someone coming to you and asking this question, okay? Here it is. When was your best day with Jesus? And then they added, if it wasn't this week, you need to do something about it. Well, what would they be saying in saying that? I think they would be saying, don't let the fire go out. Keep the fire of your relationship with Christ burning within the furnace of your heart and your life every single day of your life. In writing to Timothy, the Apostle Paul mentions how he was thinking about young Timothy and he was reminded of his faith. And then he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, these words, "For this reason I remind you, fan into flame the gift of God." This should be, I think, a lifelong goal for every single one of us. To remain passionate about serving Christ and knowing Christ and living for Christ every day that we walk with Him. In these verses here in Leviticus chapter 6, we find some things that God is speaking to Moses. And you hear me say this often, therefore, because it's in God's Word speaking to us centuries later. Keeping the fire stoked, I trust, I pray, is your desire. And so on that basis, and that is your desire with regards to that, let's just again lend our hearts and lend our spiritual ears to what God might want to speak to us. And here's the first thing I want us to see with regards to our stoking the fire and keeping it going and fanning the flame. First thing is that we need to stay attentive to the fire. Notice the first phrase found in that 12th verse. It says, you know, every morning the priest is to add firewood. Every morning, God says. Every morning, refuel the fire. It's the first thing that you are to do each and every day. You take care of the fire. I don't know about you, and I think probably most of you would agree with me, that the morning is the most important time of the day. I say that because it sets the tone for the rest of the day. With regards to how you start your morning, it is, and I think you would agree with me when you just think back on it, it sets the tone for the rest of the day. If you hit the snooze button one too many times and you end up running behind schedule, it's going to set the tone for your day. It's going to be rush, 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 frantic, 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 and everybody else better get out of your way. Right? I have found and I have noticed even in my own life when I focus first thing in waking up in the morning and I tend to reflect on my priorities, it tends to determine what my priorities are going to be. If I begin my day thinking about material things, and by that I don't just mean stuff, I mean, but whatever the schedule might be for that day, whatever I know that's going to be taking place in that day, if I start my day there, it tends to set my direction for the rest of the day in that sense. Thinking about all of that and missing that number one thing I need to be thinking about in my focus. If I wake up wanting anything other than fellowship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then I know that I need to immediately start adding wood to the fire. Right? I need to do it right away. I can't put that off. I can't say, well, maybe later on today or maybe this evening, if at all possible. The moment you wake up, you realize that you, like the priest in the Old Testament, being a New Testament priest, as Peter lays out for us in his letter, we have a responsibility. We need to pay attention to the fire. And while we do that, we start adding wood to the fire. We pay attention to it. Now, the goal here is not to get your emotions all ramped up, not to get it all juiced up. The goal here is to redirect our attitude. I mean, you realize that often in the morning, you need a redirect. True, isn't it? And that's what's so wonderful and beautiful about the opportunity that we are given to spend time with our God. Because He affords that to us. He brings the redirect that we so desperately needed. It's a redirect of our attitude, so that we can be focused on God and His presence in our lives and His will for our lives. Now, we all know, and I think we all realize, our potential for drifting from God. And I'm not just talking about in our action and behavior, but even in our times when we do try to set time aside in quiet solitude with God and in prayer. Is it just me, or is there a problem with sometimes getting distracted? sometimes this thought will come floating through him. There you go. And then 5 minutes later, you're, how'd I do that? How'd I get there? We have this potential of getting distracted, drifting away. I think the old hymn said it so well. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Truer words have not been recorded and spoken. I like the rest of that verse, though. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. You see, the simple truth is that you can't drift too far from God. And I love this promise, folks. The simple truth is, if you spend your day beginning it with being attentive to the fire, the spiritual fire, God promises that while there may be some of this and a little bit of drifting and a little bit of distraction in your day, his promise is you'll not drift too far. Isn't that good news? And it all starts with how you start your day. Focused on him and allowing him to bring the redirect so desperately needed in our lives. You will not. You cannot, because of who he is and who he is in your life, drift too very far from him. Interesting note here that I want us to just make sure we don't miss. In this sixth chapter of Leviticus, once God finished giving to Moses all the requirements that he was to pass on to the priests who would be doing their duties and their responsibilities in the tabernacle, the priests, a few chapters later in chapter 9, actually start doing it. In chapter 9 of Leviticus, we see them beginning to fulfill their responsibilities. Okay? So in chapter 9, verse 24, here's what I want us to see. They've been given the requirement. They've been shown by God how to get it all done. And then in chapter 9, they begin to do it. And then it says in verse 24, this is so cool. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. And if it was us this morning, we'd say, amen. And all the people said, amen. Did you hear what just took place? In other words, here is what they're to do. Pay attention to the fire every morning, first thing, but notice who starts the fire. God does. God is the one who starts the fire, his part. Our part? To keep it burning. And we do that in our relationship with him and being attentive to it and fueling the fire through the various ways that he's allowed us to do in walking with him and trusting him, living for him. Which I think is just so cool. That's why I suggest that you begin each and every day of your life with God. Now, probably everybody in the room, you've heard that at least a gazillion times. That's no new news for you. But I would venture to say that there are still some in the room who have not established that as a priority in their lives. And I would just simply, in all honesty, and not in any kind of condescending way, I would just simply say, why? Why would you not do that? Why would you not take the opportunity to spend time with the God who made you and created you, the one who was sovereign over all, the one who gave his son so that you could have that privilege? of moving in with him, spending time with him, getting to know him, and allowing him to change you and make you like him and fill you with his love and his compassion for others. Why would you not want that? And so I suggest that we take that seriously. May I even go so far as to say, you may not see it today, but this, I think, is something that is true and that you could take to the bank. You cannot afford not to. It's just that plain and simple. You cannot afford not to. You need to spend time with him each and every day, tending to the fire, adding the firewood, simply by being in his word, in prayer, in praise and in worship, in his presence, focused on the Lord. And in doing that, you are fueling the fire of your relationship with your Lord and Savior. Here's a second thing I want you to see. Arrange every area of your life that best suits the fire. Look at the next phrase that we see in this 12th verse of Leviticus 6. He says, every morning the priest is to add firewood, and then secondly, and arrange the burnt offering on the fire. It's probably safe to say that every single one of us in the room have never ever seen an actual burnt offering. And I'm not talking about the dinner that got burnt last night. We probably have not ever seen that. But every single one of us have been to a backyard barbecue cookout. Right? Every one of us. Once you get the fire going, you continuously arrange that which you are cooking on the grill. It is continually being arranged, flipped over, flipped back, moved around. Why? Because even if you like your meat rare, you don't want it raw. The reason that those who are grillers continually are arranging and moving and positioning is so that that piece of meat, that burger, those hot dogs, that steak, whatever it is, doesn't get completely burnt and charred on the outside and remains completely raw in the inside. So it continually is being arranged, rightly positioned over the fire so that it will cook evenly. You do this because, again, you don't want it destroyed. The symbolism, I think, is pretty obvious that I see these words being spoken to Moses, is that we need to arrange as well each and every area of our lives in that same kind of way so that our lives are rightly positioned through our trusting and our obeying and our serving. Why? Producing a full and balanced living sacrifice for God. That'd have been a good place for you to say, amen. What do we offer to God in terms of being a living sacrifice? Well, we could spend the rest of the day talking about that, but let's just narrow down to a couple of things. One type of offering that we make to God is through our praise and worship. The fruit of our lips, the action of our lives. The writer to the Hebrews writes, through Jesus, therefore let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for such sacrifices, God is pleased. Anybody here interested in pleasing God? God is pleased, we are told, when we praise him.
And here's a crucial distinction that I just want us to be reminded of this morning, okay? This is not based on how we're feeling. Right? Has nothing to do with how we are feeling. You praise Him with your attitude. You praise Him with your words. Which is why it becomes so important to get the redirect first thing in the morning. Even if your feelings aren't where you want them to be, you can still say, God, I may not feel all bubbly inside right now and at this moment, but I'm going to praise you anyway with my words. I'm going to praise you with my attitude because you alone are worthy. Regardless of how I'm feeling, you're worthy to receive all praise and glory. This is an amazing way. We talk a lot around here about putting God on display. Let me ask you a question. What is God's worth in your life? And in your displaying God, what kind of worth are you displaying? What is His worth in you? This is what we're describing here is an amazing way of displaying God's worth in our life. Another way we make an offering to God is through our serving Him and others, through our service. Service happens in two basic ways. We serve one another as followers of Christ within the community of Jesus, and then we serve unbelievers as well. To believers, through serving in our local churches and in caring and in serving and in praying for each other. To unbelievers, through missions and evangelism and just general acts of kindness. Whatever God's will for your life, I will guarantee you, it will include your caring for and taking care and helping others. It should be the goal of every follower of Christ and have an area of ministry, a place where you are serving. Also, every follower of Christ should be on the lookout for those everyday opportunities to put God on display and His worth and just do a general simple act of kindness to those who God has placed in your path. It's not an accident. A good example is obviously from the New Testament is the story of the Good Samaritan. He's traveling from one place to another. He come across someone who has already been avoided twice by the religious people of his day. And he helps them. A simple act of kindness. As you make your way through your journey, you will also encounter those who will need your help. God puts them there. Don't miss this. Responding to their need is your way of making a sacrificial offering to God. Don't miss that. Because there's just so much more going on when we just live Jesus. We make a sacrificial offering to God. In that way, we are being a living sacrifice to Him. And in the process, you are fanning the flame, stoking the fire of God. Who doesn't want that? Unless you're happy with being cold and dark, sad and grumpy, I don't think so. Think of it like this, in terms of serving and giving. Much of our day is spent in getting. We get up in the morning in order to get a good breakfast, before we get in our cars and ride to work, we get in gear and get the job done so we can get a paycheck that will pay for a getaway on the weekend so we might get rest to get a jump on the next week so we can just do it all over again. Think about it. The gospel challenges us to become people who are more concerned about giving than we are getting. Genuine giving involves concern for others. And ultimately, it requires the demolition of our pride and self-centeredness. Giving is sacrifice. It's letting go of at least part of that which we believe to be ours. It's living life with hands open before God. If Christ were to come to you and call you today to make a missions trip to Africa or to China or to India or to Mexico or to just across the street, are you available? Or would he find you entangled? Or would he find you with excuses as to why you can't? Are you available? Are you and your gifts and talents and time and stuff available for the kingdom of God? Consider the contrast between two groups of people that were giving between Matthew 4 and Luke chapter 9. In Matthew 4 is where we find Jesus calling some fishermen to follow him. And in that chapter, we see that it says they immediately dropped their nets, which means their livelihood. This is their business. It says they immediately dropped their nets and followed him. They were available, not entangled. But in Luke chapter 9, once again, we find Jesus calling some people to follow him. Only the group of people in chapter 9 offer excuses. Well, I've got to go say goodbye to my family. I've got to go bury the dead. I've got to. The idea there, I think, coming across to us is that, I kind of like want to follow you, Lord. And I'm going to get around to it sooner or later when it best suits me. But I've got some stuff to do right now. I've got a priority, and you're not it. Are you available? Or are you entangled? I encourage you to arrange the offering of your life so that it is rightly positioned, balanced, and organized. And for lack of a better term, with the whole idea of the backyard grill, well done. As a living sacrifice before the Lord. Look at each of these areas, your devotional life, your praise and worship, your service to others, and make sure that you are doing what needs to be done in each of these areas. This will keep the fire burning. Okay. You fuel the fire first thing in the morning. You arrange your life each day conforming to the fire, and then you fuel the fire with the fat of fellowship. I tried my best to come up with a better point. I really did. It was like, fat of fellowship, that just doesn't sing, Lord. And then it's like he spoke to me and said, it's my word. Okay, we'll go with it. Verse 12, once again, the last part of verse 12. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire. And then thirdly, and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. Some of you already see where we're going with this. Let's go back to the backyard grill. You've got your meat on the fire, and some of that fat begins to drip into the fire. What happens? It fuels the fire, doesn't it? Isn't that an amazing symbolism and connection for us? Kind of makes you want to put on a little weight. Not really, but with regards to fellowship, the fat of fellowship, it fuels the fire. I think that is so cool. In the very same way, fellowship within the community of believers fuels the fire of our spiritual lives. You see, when we gather, there's a whole lot more going on the basis of Leviticus 6 than what meets the eye. Just by showing up, making yourself available, you're fanning the flame. You're fueling the fire of your heart, of your life. And that's a good thing, isn't it? We weren't made to be hermits, whether you're an introvert or not. We weren't made to live that way. We were made for community. We were made to live together in relationship with one another. And when you fellowship with your brothers and with your sisters in Christ, when you get over yourself and then give of yourself in uplifting, encouraging conversation, strengthening and praying for one another, you are fanning the flame. That's good stuff. I don't mind saying that's good preaching, Dave. And at this point, not only is this benefiting you, but because we're community, you are then also benefiting one another. You're helping your brother and sister to fan their flame and helping them to keep the fire stoked and burning. The fat of fellowship. In Hebrews chapter 10, where there is a contrast being made between the Old Testament priests doing what they're doing here in Leviticus 6, there's a contrast being made between them and our great high priest, Jesus Christ. Listen to it. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. How many are looking forward towards the day of our Christ's soon return? That's why it's great for believers to get together. And not only for a worship service, as awesome as this is, and not only for a service project, as good as that is, but simply for the pleasure of being together and fanning the flame, laughing together, crying together, praying together, experiencing life together. This, like all things, needs to be a balanced part of our lies because we get things from fellowship that we can get nowhere else, church. Nowhere else. Here's the caveat, however. Sometimes what Christians call fellowship really isn't fellowship. I'm referring to those times where a few saints might get together and have nothing more than a gossip session or a gripe session. This isn't pleasing to God. The kind of fellowship we need to strive for is where the conversation is uplifting and where everyone leaves feeling strengthened, comforted, refreshed, encouraged, and here it is, collectively refueled. Amen? John said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The refueling kind of fellowship. That's the kind of fellowship, church, that we need to be going for. Fellowship that is illuminated by the light of Christ. If you want to keep the fire burning, make sure that you stoke and fuel the fire of the fat of fellowship. Everyone brings something to the table, folks. I think probably right about this point, there are those who might be thinking, I just don't think I bring anything to the table. I just don't think I have anything to offer anybody. Nothing could be further from the truth. You have experience in Christ that someone else has not had. I would just simply please and plead with you. Please get over yourself. Because that's all you're doing at that point. You are making it about you. Get over yourself. Give of yourself. Because everybody needs you, and you need everybody. That's just how it is. Never, ever forget that. Some of you here today are saying, I so desperately need this. The fire in my life, barely flickering, barely alive. Others of you might be thinking, man, my fire, there's not even a flicker. I think it's completely gone. It died a couple years ago. I need a new fire. There's good news. Marilyn shared some words with me. She either read them or heard them this past week, and she texted them to me. Here they are. You cannot alter the past, but you can bring the past to the altar. Is that good or what? You cannot alter, A-L-T-E-R, the past, but you can bring the past to the A-L-T-A-R, to the altar of God, to where the fire of God is burning. Here's the good news. In a song we used to sing many, many years ago, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And so if you're ready to fill your life with the fire of God, he is willing to provide that spark. He's prepared to light the fire again in your life. Won't you let him? Won't you let him? Are you prepared to keep the fire burning? Here's how you do it. You make it a daily priority to spend time in his presence, spend time helping others, spend time with his people, because in doing that, you are fanning the flame. You're keeping the fire going. I want to leave you with three sets of three words to be imprinted on your hearts. Words to live by. Here they are. Stoke the fire. Fan the flame. Burn for God. For our God, as Hebrews tells us, is a consuming fire. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word and how it brings truth and how it brings freedom, how it brings, Lord, in many cases, conviction, hopefully followed by repentance. God, may we give ourselves to you in a whole new and fresh way, realizing that you are the one who sends the fire. Your part, our part, is to keep the fire burning. We saw that laid out in the Old Testament, which was speaking in symbolic for us New Testament priests here in the New Testament church. You have called us all, and you call us all as followers of Christ, as your priests. May we take seriously being attentive to the fire and arranging our lives proportionally and rightly positioned according to that fire. God, may we just belong to you. May we live for you like never before. Serving you, displaying your worth in our lives. And hopefully, that is everything. Help us, God, to fan the flame and to never, ever let it go out or to even begin to diminish. You do your part. God, may we be faithful in doing ours. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit wellspringoflifechurch.com.